Welcome to a special edition of the 155 podcast, the Ward 4 trustee by-election. You can vote on election day, January 6th from 10 a.m. till 8 p.m. at three polling locations in Ward 4, the Rosedale Arena, the Winston Churchill Recreation Center, and the Boys and Girls Club at 45 Ellis Avenue. For more information, visit the City of Hamilton website at hamilton.ca. Amanda Neal Robertson, you are running for trustee in the Ward 4 by-election. Welcome to the 155 podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Firstly, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm a resident of Ward 4. I'm a parent of a child over at Queen Mary. I have a background working in the nonprofit sector, specifically supporting children and youth and giving them the opportunities to reach their full potential. I am an avid chocolate appreciation person. I love chocolate. I like going for walks. I like being active. And I really love my community.
Why are you running for trustee?
I've dedicated my career to working with children and youth so that they can reach their full potential. And that's been on a frontline capacity. That's been through programming innovation and design, moving forward to leading and leading nonprofits that work with supporting youth and reaching their full potential. And then I moved into intentionally coaching, mentoring, and stewarding that next generation of leaders that are entering the workforce, folks who were interested in becoming teachers, doctors, lawyers, ECE, youth workers. And now that I have a child of my own that's school-aged and is in HWDSB, I want to ensure that the future possibilities for him are endless, and likewise, anyone in and around him, that the possibilities for the future for them is endless.
How have you contributed to your school community and education in Hamilton?
You know, my child recently joined the school, so I'm new to the school board. I joined the school council in September, so I was involved with the school counselor for about 3 months before I had to step away for the integrity of this campaign. But within that 3 month period, I think I had a pretty, I would say, significant impact. With my background in fundraising and nonprofits, I researched grants with a focus on specialized programming for children and youth, provided a full list to my school. I know since providing them with the list, they've applied for at least two, maybe three different grants for specialized programming and support. I know that the school council has also applied for a PRO grant, and I helped with the drafting and the editing of that. I've also committed to helping support teachers at the school with grant writing workshops to Queen Mary staff. I've also done research around strong school councils. I think that's really important. Our school council was at a rebuilding year, a rebuilding couple of years post-COVID, and so we're really starting fresh. So I was looking at some strong examples of school councils and methods that we could bring into our school. From there, I've introduced new ideas about parent engagement and brought forth other, I think, just kind of cool school activities that we're looking at incorporating into our school calendar. So that's at a local community level. For a more broader, big strokes approach to education, when I was leading an innovative sport for development nonprofit in Toronto, it was youth-led and youth-employed. So youth accounted for 94 to 98% of the employees. So I was the 2%. Of caring adults that were at the agency and working with young people, helping them reach their goals, attain stretch goals, supporting their education. But there was one young person who was also a student here at McMaster University and part of the rugby team, the Marauders. And they wanted to bring the specific model and approach that we had to programming to Hamilton and through rugby, through their rugby club. So through some intentional mentorship and coaching, I was able to help support them bring, which is now known as rookie rugby, into a number of schools and after school programs. I know they partnered with Boys and Girls Clubs, but that was, you know, in part through mentorship, I would say. So indirectly, but still somewhat close.
How do you define the role of a school board trustee?
There's obvious responsibilities with regards to governance and oversight. There's the fiduciary responsibility and then community accountability. And within this role, there's things that you have to do. There's requirements of the job that you have to do. But the thing that I'm most excited about is how I get to do it and how I get to mobilize it and how I get to engage with community. And that's what's really exciting to me. And When I think about the HWDSB's motto around be excellent, be you, well, if we want children and youth to be excellent and we want them to be exceptional, then we need exceptional leadership. So it has to go beyond just the job requirements, and we need someone with dedication and vision and creating real change.
What are your priorities for improving public education in Hamilton?
There's three main priorities that are standing out to me right now. One is centered around accountability, and that's with regards to the Human Rights Equity Plan and also the strategic plan, making sure that there's accountability there and there's checks and balances and reporting, regular reporting and checking in with the community. The other thing that's really and deeply important to me is community belonging. And I know belonging's a characteristic and a value of the HWDSB. It's also a value that's integral to me and how I like to work. And when I talk about community and belonging, I mean specifically with Ward 4, because that's where we are, but also right across the board. And that involves intentional relationships with community impact organizations to help build belonging in communities and help reinforce belonging so that there's more caring adults in a young person's life. And then third is that fiduciary responsibility and having a balanced budget. I want to make sure that educators have access to the tools and resources that they need in order to deliver world-class education to our young people. I don't know if you've seen online, but Engage Hamilton has just released a tool where you can play around with the budget. And I thought that was really neat. And like the nerd in me was very excited about that. And I think it'd be really cool for everyone else to have the opportunity when looking at the school budget to have a solid understanding of choices that have to be made in order to create a balanced budget. And then a tongue-in-cheek answer would be the addition of the Oxford comma. There are some internal communication materials and external communication materials for sure that are definitely missing an Oxford comma, in my opinion. As you know, an Oxford comma separates three or more things in a sentence. And the reason why it's important to me and should be important to the school and I think everyone else is that in 2018, a dairy company didn't use an Oxford comma and they made a $5 million mistake. It was an example that awarded the transportation workers $5 million in overtime. And what I mean by this is that we assume that when the comma is not there, when there is no Oxford comma, that we're talking about separate things, but they're often combined together. So for example, one of the ones that I would love to see an Oxford comma in is upholding human rights, comma, safety, comma, and well-being, instead of safety and well-being all lumped together as one. And then another one is collaborating with students, comma, families, comma, and community, because making sure that we're not just lumping groups together is that treating each one separate and important and valuable. So tongue-in-cheek is adding an Oxford comma.
What three skills have you demonstrated that make you the best choice to be entrusted as the Ward 4 School Board trustee?
You've heard me say this a lot, and you're going to hear me say this a lot. Accountability. I've demonstrated accountability in leading nonprofits. That's everything from supporting donor dollars and being responsible and accountable for donor dollars. That's funder dollars. That's private, corporate, public, provincial, federal dollars, being accountable to that on a financial side, but also on a program delivery side to say that we're doing what we said we're going to do and we're learning what we said we're going to learn. That's the reporting of it and the delivery to communities. Financial and communications accountability is important and a skill that I have. And a way that I demonstrate or put it in action is one of the things I used to say to the young people when I was working with them in my sport organization was that gratitude is a muscle. And if we don't use it, it atrophies. In order to demonstrate accountability and make sure that we're closing that feedback loop, we would do thank you cards. Thank you cards to donors, thank you cards to funders, thank you cards to community partners as a way of just demonstrating accountability that we were there, we did the work, thanks for the opportunity. The other skill is community building, and done that through one-on-one relationships with young people. I love working directly with young people. I've done that through the power and possibility of sport and demonstrating it in action most recently through the best part of my day, which is every day after school, we have a little picnic at the playground right opposite Queen Mary. And it started off really just kind of organic, just having a spot to sit and have a snack. Then other parents were joining and there was more food and more snacks. And then other kids from other classes were coming and other grades were coming to sit down and have their lunch and share And kids who didn't have lunch to share, didn't have snack to share, could just come over and have a bite to eat. And it would just bring people together. And I think that's another way that I demonstrate community building. It's just organic and natural. And then the third way is I'm a change maker. Yeah, I would say I'm a sought after voice in the communities in which I serve. I've been consulting on different projects, worked with Rugby Canada's governance committee and developed a project on how to embed EDI into their board recruitment policies and procedures, worked with different groups on accessibility and inclusion and creating new jobs and opportunities from being involved in those groups. And then I think, once again, bringing that down to how do I make change or how do I apply it or put it in action is one of the things I do is I say hi to people on the street. It's simple, but it's quite alarming. I don't know if you go around and saying hi to folks or people just saying hi to you all the time anyway, but just try it. It makes your community a little bit closer, a little bit smaller. And something that the principal had said to me was that one of the things that my child does in school is that they say hello to everybody in the hallways. And it started this wonderful little train where everybody says hi to people or when they see the class coming, saying hi to them. And it's small things like that that can make a difference.
What two policy or practice changes do you wish to achieve in your 2-year term on the board?
Talking to community and hearing the feedback, especially from these town halls recently, and then just being out in community and talking to folks, something that is becoming very pertinent, I think, to addressing is increasing the number of EAs in the classroom. There's more support needed in the classroom. That's to support all learners where they're at, in particular our neurodivergent learners, and then also some of those learners with behavioral problems that we can help ensure that they get responsive access and support and that we're able to meet all learners where they're at. I fundamentally believe that if we can increase the number of EAs in the classroom, that demonstrates to teachers and to the rest of the staff that they're feeling heard, that there's additional opportunities to have safety addressed in the classroom with more caring adults to student ratio. And there's also more opportunities to create belonging for students as well. So we just really give everyone a chance to meet people where they're at. So that's number one. And then I think the second one for me is more practical with regards to the Ward 4 community and just being accessible and available and being present and reporting back. Some folks have said that they've missed that or they've not had that opportunity. So that's a practice that I would definitely switch.
Mindful that there is not a school accommodation review scheduled during the next 2 years. Nonetheless, this is a question that gets to how you govern in difficult circumstances. As a school board trustee, your duty is to ensure the best quality of education for students across the entire school system. How will you manage a staff recommendation to close a school in your ward that the board's professional staff states will enable the board to provide a better quality of education across the system?
In a word, critically. And that's not at the detriment of the work of the staff member, just to be really clear about that. I think when we're able to hold things up to the light and look at things critically, we can all be better in the roles in which we operate and jobs that we have to do. So critically, but with the idea that we're making it better. Definitely, I'd scrutinize the proposal, but that's what I would do for anything that came across my way. You might have recalled that at the town hall that I mentioned the chair in the room methodology, and that's something that's really important to me. So when you design a chair, you design a chair in a room in a house in a neighborhood, neighborhood in a community, community in a city, and so on. So that would be a methodology that I'd be looking at, or a lens that I'd be looking at while reviewing the proposal. And I'd have questions. I'd have lots of questions. I'd want to know about benchmarking. I want to know about all the associated risks. I'd want to know about timelines, transition plans. What are the trade-offs and what alternatives were explored? Lots of questions. And that's also because I find that when we're in administrative roles, we make decisions that are administratively beneficial, but really they need to be people-centered or user-centered. I'd be looking at it through that lens as well.
School boards must pass balanced budgets. The province sets the funding allocation. Trustees cannot raise funds locally. And most funding envelopes are non-transferable. Mindful of these limitations, how will you approach the annual budget process?
In a word, analytically. You know, I like to look at year-over-year budgets. I like to look at the variance as well. Want to make sure that's in alignment with the strategic plan and the strategic planning goals and the gaps with regards to that too, to make sure that those numbers make sense. I typically also like to see a best, a worst, and a most likely scenario when it comes to budgets, as well as what are your red flags and when do decisions need to be made if there's critical changes that need to happen. And a little bit of forecast planning as well. I think, once again, I would just come with lots of questions. I like to learn, and you learn when you ask questions.
It's 2026. The public record is writing an assessment of your performance during the 22 months you've been in office. What three words do you hope will describe your term on the board?
I hope that you'll say I was accountable, and that's reflected in the recording of this conversation today and the rest of the work that I will do, that I was accessible, which is also one of my goals that I said I wanted to make sure that I was able to attain, and then approachable. I want to be able to work with people, not just residents in the community, and so that they know how to reach me and I'm accessible to them in that regard, but also fellow trustees and the hardworking folks that are putting together recommendations at the school board, that I'm approachable and I'm working in partnership with everyone.
Thank you. That's the end of the prepared questions you were sent in advance. Would you like to share some closing remarks?
Only to say thanks so much for the opportunity. Really appreciate being able to be here and to be in everyone's ear right now. So thank you. If you want to learn more about me and my campaign, you can find me online at www.amanda4ward4.com. And I'm on social media, Amanda4ward4.
Thank you for joining us today.